Welcome if you're visiting for the first time. I don't know if we have any first timers this morning. I think I've seen most of you before, but it's good to have you. Maybe I've seen a couple of new faces. We're a friendly bunch. All of Jesus' people are. They love people, and we love having you. And so it's great to have you if you're visiting from somewhere else as well. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but there is World Cup fever. Has anybody noticed? Is anybody watching? Is anybody enduring someone else watching? Millions of people are, you know, celebrating, excited, hopeful that their team are going to win. Now, it would take an absolute miracle for ours to win. An absolute miracle. Now, I actually haven't had the time to watch any yet. But I did look in my emails this week, and I saw that a certain supermarket had sent me an email. And the title of the email was, "Put on a feast for football." Put on a feast for football. And I really, I read that and I thought, why? Why would you do that? Although I do enjoy football. I do enjoy watching some of the bigger games, and maybe I'll get into it. And we, this kind of World Cup fever is going around, and I think the supermarkets are trying to cash in on it and saying, hey, have your mates round, get your friends round, have a bit of a feast, get some special food in, and have a party. And they use this word feast. And a feast isn't just an ordinary meal with friends. It's actually about special food and really making a big thing of this event. And it made me think this week, which is why I'm going to speak from a story in the Bible about a man called Levi. And in fact, his name, Jesus actually changed his name, or his name was changed to Matthew. But Levi actually put on a feast, not for football, but for Jesus. He actually held a great big feast. And I can imagine being kind of the Middle Eastern feasting kind of person. It would have been a roast goat, maybe a few falafels, maybe a bit of hummus, because I don't know how you could have a feast without hummus in that culture. I think there would have been sweet pastries and savory pastries, and I think they'd have got somebody who's brilliant at making very large cakes to decorate a massive cake that everybody could tuck in, a massive chocolate cake, shall we say. Anybody hungry yet? And this feast was real. And we're going to read the story about how Levi had such an impacting, transforming, amazing encounter with Jesus that his first reaction, I mean, for me, this is wonderful. His first response was, I want to celebrate. That was his first. It's like, you know, if the nation of England win the World Cup, highly unlikely, but if they did, there would be national pride. There would be even the kind of Spanish culture of horns going in communities and flags, and people would be celebrating everywhere, even if they're not normally into football. And so Levi had this incredible meeting with Jesus Christ, and he put on a heck of a feast. It says a great feast, not a little feast, a huge, expensive, the best he could do feast. Let's read Luke 5. I think it's going to come up on the screen. And it's speaking about Jesus, and I just love this story. It's very simple, and I believe this story has got a lot to say to us here today, both maybe those who are recent followers of Jesus Christ, or people who are inquiring about following, or people who have been following Jesus for years, like me. But I think some of you out there have been following him a bit longer even than me. And this story speaks about this feast in the middle, about Jesus meeting Levi, what happened, and kind of another crowd that were around the celebrators. And we're just going to look at this. Verse 27. After these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Ever so short, that "so he left all, rose up, and followed him" is ever so short. Yeah. Do you not think that that response, although it's like so brief in its description, speaks of a complete life change for this man? I mean, I'm talking about got up, left all, followed Jesus. I mean, that is radical. That is a radical response to Jesus Christ. And then Levi gave Jesus a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors, let's say corrupt bankers instead? Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician or a doctor, but only those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I love this short, incredibly clear insight into what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in truth. What it means to be a religious person who complains and criticizes everybody else. And what Jesus speaks about, the conditioner of man, is that every single person needs a heavenly doctor. I love this story because Jesus is speaking about himself being a heavenly doctor, the only one with the cure for the human problem. For all mankind. And Levi, you could say, as he sat there at work in the daily routine, and Levi, in that culture, if you were a tax collector, you would be doing people out of money. You'd be taking things from people that weren't yours, stealing effectively, feathering your own nest at the benefit of someone else, corrupt. And so Levi, he was sitting there knowing he had gained his own wealth, because he was a wealthy man. To put on a great feast, you have to be, and have loads of people there. He must have sat there and thought, "I know people don't like me. And I'm pretty convinced, because I feel very guilty about it, although I don't have power to stop this, I'm pretty convinced God doesn't accept me because I know I'm a sinner. Nobody needs to tell me that I've sinned. I don't need somebody to sit down and persuade me that I've done wrong." He was fully convinced. And he's sitting there, convinced of his need, but no ability to fix it. And I think this is very similar, like Jesus talks about the doctor. It's very similar that if somebody goes to the doctor, it's because they can't fix the problem. You can't fix what you're in. You can't fix what you've got. And actually, the Bible tells us that sin is terminal. It's a disease that nobody can fix, only Jesus. And sin brings death. It makes you dead to God, dead on the inside, and death eternally. And even worse than that, into a lake of fire, Scripture says. So it's not just terminal, it's forever punished. You will live forever in punishment. And so sin isn't something that actually, if you knew what you were in, you would want to live in. Because of how awful sin is. It's terminal. And there are people that refuse the doctor in natural life. You know, some people, they maybe diagnose themselves and say, actually, I've got a physical problem and I know the doctor could fix it, but I don't want to go. I know there's treatment for this, but I don't want to go. And I think there are a lot of people that don't want the treatment that Jesus gives. I mean, you probably know a lot of people who don't want Jesus because they don't want that treatment. They want to fix themselves and live in sin and do whatever they want and blow the consequences because they like what they're in. But Levi wasn't like that. He sat there. I don't believe Levi was at all like that. And Jesus knew that. And he's sitting there going, guilty, ashamed, I can't get out of it. I'm facing a life I know I'll enjoy it naturally because I've got loads of dosh. And there's certain things money can buy. Don't ever be deceived thinking. And some of you are saying, I'm certainly not. Money can do certain things. But it's worth nothing in comparison to peace with God. And having your sins forgiven. It's worth absolutely those who run after money, actually the Bible says, pierce themselves through with many troubles. They put it in the cloak of, I've got to work all the time. I've got, you know, makes it, work is the goal, but actually it's money that's the goal of people's lives. And Jesus says you can't have two masters. If you follow me, you can't follow money. But if you follow me, I will add everything you need in the journey. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I've known that in my experience. Following Jesus has been the most blessed life I've ever had before I met him. But Jesus, in this story, he goes out to find Levi. He is looking for this guy. And other people didn't want Levi because he was such an outcast. But Jesus said, I do. I want him. And I want to fix him. And I've got the cure for sin. And I've got the only cure for sin. And it's me. That if he believes in me, he will be forever cured and forever forgiven and forever have a new life walking with me as a follower. Levi and Jesus agreed on the condition. Jesus was convinced that he was a sinner, which is why he came to die. And he provided the medicine through the cross. The cross of Jesus is God's answer for the human need. That Christ died for sinners like me. Paul actually said, I was one of the worst sinners. I was a murderer. Even a murderer. Paul was involved in the murder of an early disciple of Jesus. But he said, this grace I found. This forgiveness I found. And Levi, as he sat there dealing with his money, he met Jesus that day. And Jesus just said simply to him, two words. And you can't believe that somebody would respond so powerfully to the two words. Yeah. For me, when I read the scripture, I've got to really think about it. Yeah. He left his corrupt business. That's mega. He basically said, I can't love Jesus, follow Jesus, and stay in corruption. I can't continue in my sin, in other words. I have to leave it. That's a believer. That's a follower. I have to leave my sin. Jesus is the cure, but I've got stuff to leave. Jesus is the cure, the only cure. It's all a gift of salvation. Jesus doesn't make us work for salvation because he freely gives it to all who receive him, to believe in him. But we all have to leave the life of sin we were in. There isn't one person in this room that qualifies as a follower who isn't following. And therefore leaving the wrong life behind. Amen. Amen. Church, we know what a follower is. You've left the wrong life to find the right life. You've left the old way to come into the new way. You've left guilt, shame, sin for his forgiveness and righteousness. You're walking in a new way. A new life with new people. Your old mates are back there. Your new mates are here. That's it. And Levi left everything and followed Jesus. He sat, he got up, and just got walking. He started to walk with all the other disciples, but Jesus was with him. And he was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to throw a party. That was his first thought. I know what. I know what I could do. I could have a party. I've got celebration kicking off on the inside. I need to put it on the outside. There's a party going on in here. And I need to express the party. We used to have a song at Faith Camp called There's a Party Going On Upstairs, which was actually speaking about one person who actually does a Levi, leaves their life, believes in Jesus, and follows. It says there's a party going on upstairs. In other words, there's a great celebration in heaven. But we ought to sing, there's a party going on in my heart. Because Jesus has come to live in me. That's how we should live. There's a party. And he said, I'm gonna throw a great big feast. Levi was fully convinced, and I wonder if you are, that the best thing that ever happened to him was Jesus. Are you fully there this morning? Are you fully convinced that Jesus is the best thing that has happened in your life? Because I'm convinced, but are you? Are you convinced that Jesus is forever the best thing that has happened in your life? Levi was. And he was going to be loud and proud. He showed Jesus off. I can't be doing with this Christianity. This. I become a Christian. Closet Christianity. I become a Christian. Let's hide it. He was like, mate, you want to get to know Jesus? I've been forgiven. I've got peace. He's got a purpose for my life. He's got a plan for me. And I want to share him in the context of celebration. You know, I don't know what he told his friends. I have no idea. Neither do you. You could think it. You could make something up, though. He could have said, I'm throwing a feast because of Jesus. Now, what did it mean for him? Greatest day of my life. Greatest person in my life. Yeah. The greatest purpose in my life. Yeah. The greatest reason in my life. The greatest one in my life, that's Jesus. And I don't want to keep him to myself. And maybe over the feast he said to his friends, look, I just want you to get into close proximity with the one who changed my life. And so I'm inviting you. Close proximity. I just want you to experience what I have. And I think he might have said some of these statements. And I know that we know these words. But I think he might have said, you know what a miserable sinner I was? He chose me. And I know what a miserable sinner you are, he would have said to his friends. But he chooses, if you will follow him, if you will believe in him, he would have said he wanted me. He forgave me. He accepted me. I'm not going to perish. I don't fear dying anymore. I have eternal life. I was defeated by sin, by guilt and shame. He made me more than a conqueror. I was dead. I was dead. Imagine this morning, someone's dead here at the front. Okay, shall we just for a moment physically and say, right, we better believe God to raise them. Because Jesus raises the dead, even physically. Lazarus. The disciples were well known for raising the dead. Same Christianity, are we not? Do we have the same Jesus? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's here, is he? Okay, so we pray and up he gets. He'd be like, well, let's just see if theologically everything's in place. Let's not party too soon until he feels it, emotionally gets a bit healed. You'd have. All of you would run out there and go, there was a dead man in our church this morning, and he's alive. The day you got born again, you change from dead to alive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what happened. You were dead in your sins. Jesus made you alive in Christ Jesus. And we find it sometimes quite difficult to party. Oh, well, you don't know. I've got these challenges. Yeah, but you were dead. Yes, but Jesus is in you. Yes, but you're going to heaven. You might have one or two things that God is going to deal with later on and answer prayer. But look at it now as a celebration. This whole truth made him want a party. Now, there's another crowd, and I love this crowd because they're in every meeting. And I call them the lemon juice crowd. And there we have the lemon juice crowd. We know them, don't we? Do you know them? I tell you, they've been following me since I got born again. I remember when I was first saved, a lemon juice person came to me. Like this. Jesus lives in my life. I've been changed forever. I am so blessed. I don't have much, but I am blessed. I might be on my own, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Might not look like it to you, but I know that I'm blessed. And this lemon juice person came to me and she said, oh, it'll wear off. This joy doesn't last. I thought, well, looking at you, it hasn't for you. I've never seen such a miserable Christian in all my life. And she thought she was to teach me that this is going to wear off. Does Jesus wear out or wear off? Never. Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever in us? Is he the joy in our hearts, the peace in us? Is he the life on the inside? Is he the resurrection? Is he the joy of all the earth? And so I just looked at this lemon juice Christian and decided I wouldn't have that kind of Christianity. Which is why I'm doing all of this today, because of Jesus. I have known the truth even in the worst times, and I've had them. I've had trouble you don't know about, and I don't want you to. But I have learned, like Paul when he was in prison, I've learned to rejoice in the Lord always because I've always got him. In the trouble, I have Jesus. I have comfort. I have peace. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. My circumstances might make me grieve for a while, but I know that in all things, he is my life and he will come through for me. And if you contrast this crowd, I'm telling you, I think it's very funny. You've got this feast with Jesus, and you've got these, let me point a finger at you. You're like something on the bottom of my shoe, crowd. You're never good enough, crowd. You'll never be enough, crowd. You'll never work like we do, crowd. You'll never be like us. Why would we? Crowd. They are the judges. And Jesus says, do not judge unless you will also be judged. And they're just, these guys, these partying guys, are not judging. They're just enjoying Jesus. And I think we should go through life in that mode. In fact, I think it's the call on each of our lives. To in lemon juice moments, to remember we need less lemon and more party. And if Paul could rejoice, beaten, left for dead, persecuted, hated, slandered, criticized, going through all the hardships that he went through, and he could say, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because with him, there's always something to rejoice about. You'll always find a reason to rejoice with Jesus living in your heart. Always. We're supposed to, Bible says, give a reason for the hope that is in you, not the misery. And I'm not criticizing where you're at. I'm just saying, if we really realize what has happened to us, then we would live out of a celebration mode. See, Christians are often always looking for the next thing, the next business deal, the next answer to prayer, the next miracle, the next healing. But what about what we already have or who we already have? Is he not more than enough to celebrate? So we're not to wait for a celebration, we're to live in it, are we not? Now, okay, feasting. I'm not just talking about food. I've actually not been feasting for 30 years, otherwise I might be a bit bigger, naturally speaking. But you know, Psalm 23 says, a table I have prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. Think about it. A table. Jesus has provided everything in the gift of who he is, his presence in your life, his word. In the presence of all your problems, you can feast. And if you feast, it will be amazing how the enemies will leave and find somebody else to go and have a go at. Because you're one of these rejoicing always Christians. Because you're feasting on him and his abundant goodness. Feasting on his promises that never fail. Feasting on all that he has done for you already. And you know, I know you might say this morning, and I'm not going to be much longer, but you might say this morning, you know, that's okay when you first become a Christian. And I'm more mature now. I shuffle into church and I shuffle out, and nobody knows I've even been there. And I just, you know, he's replaced the garment of heaviness with a spirit of praise. Which means we praise. It means we give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. And so what about now? We maybe just need to Switch it on its head from looking at what's wrong to looking what's right. Switch everything around and say, let's refocus everything we are on the one person and all he has done for us. We're loved. We're blessed in every way in Christ Jesus. Life couldn't get better because we have him. We've got the best. God has done so much. Don't act like nothing's happened. Don't act like saved is ordinary. Don't get used to being saved. The Bible talks about this great salvation. Don't get used to being forgiven. Don't get used to having the presence of God in your life. Don't call it ordinary. This is extraordinary. Don't call it common. I remember when Peter was on the roof, God had showed him something, spoke to him. He had a vision, and God said to Peter, don't call common what I have cleansed. In other words, I've been waiting for this moment from the garden, before the Garden of Eden. I've been planning this moment where I would pour out my spirit on all flesh. I planned it from the garden. I did it from Noah. Noah was part of my plan to actually execute my plan of this great salvation. In came Isaiah. And then Mary, the Virgin Mary. I've put all of this through history into plan. All because I wanted to find you and give you forgiveness and give you my life. I did it all so Jesus could come. Everything is done for you. I rose again from the dead. I suffered on the cross for your sins. Jesus died for sinners. I've done it all. This is my plan. It isn't ordinary. This is the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And you know, our natural tendency is to kind of shift gear from truth to how we feel currently. But we need to get back to believing and thanking Jesus that we're alive from the dead. And that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That we have authority over all the power of the enemy. This is the truth that sets us free to celebrate. This church is not ordinary. God has done this. If you're a new creation, you are not an ordinary person. You're not common. You're not getting used to. Never get over it. Never get over this great salvation that Christ himself lives in you. Prayers and answers to prayer, it's not ordinary. To have the job you've got isn't ordinary. To have the business you've started isn't ordinary. To have the miracles in your family isn't ordinary. To have the children God has given isn't ordinary. To have all the blessings and miracles and healings that God has done, it isn't ordinary to be healed. It's not ordinary to get answers to prayer. This is an extraordinary life. God is good all the time. That is extraordinary. All the time, Jesus is good. Let's celebrate Jesus like we've never celebrated before. And Levi, you know, he just put on this party, but okay, he wouldn't have done big food feasts, but he spent his life feasting on Jesus. and following Jesus and living for Jesus and talking about Jesus and being happy to be saved. Even when he went to Ethiopia and he was probably persecuted for his faith, he was grateful that Jesus came that one day and found him in his sin and brought him out of darkness and brought him into the kingdom of light. And he was happy to say, Father, when he went to glory, I lived from that moment on for you, Jesus. And I'm so grateful still that you came to find me. Oh, what a joy. The joy of salvation. Let us meditate on our own condition. Are we celebrating? Or are we too much lemon juice? And you see, the friends around, the people around Levi, wouldn't have caught a negative Christianity. Come and have a party. There'd have been nothing negative, even though Levi probably still had loads of stuff in his life that needed a miracle. But his friends would have picked up, this guy is absolutely gone on this. Yeah, yeah. This Savior, this Lord. Yeah. He's absolutely full on. Yeah. Do you know it's really catching when someone's full on for Jesus? Yeah. Steady, 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 steady. Careful, careful, careful. It's actually very catching. It isn't very contagious when you're like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and this is what we do. There's no fizz in that. We need a bit less flat, more fizz. Don't let the fizz go flat. And don't let life take the fizz out. Don't let anyone take that fizz out. I'm saved. If I had one of those trumpets or party things, I'd have brought it in. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Mega. And when he shared it, it was fizzy. It was fizzy. It was bursting out of him. I mean, have you ever had a flat bottle of something? And this isn't an advocation to drink a lot. The Bible says don't get drunk, okay? But get filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's our life, actually. He's better than any alcohol you'll ever put in your body. Hello? Don't get drunk, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I haven't experienced that. Well, ask and you will receive. He's better than all. He's better than all. And if you need alcohol to enjoy life, you've stopped the fizz. If you need anything else to enjoy the Christian life, you've stopped actually living in the joy of Jesus. The friends, you know, they'd have caught it. They'd have caught this atmosphere of celebration around this follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about his future. Jesus just said two words. He didn't say, follow me, and then I'll give you a 10-life plan. And in that 10-life plan, you're going to meet so-and-so, and you're going to have even more wealth, and you're going to do this, and I'm going to do all of this for you. Is that okay? Is that good enough for you? That if I give you all this plan and all these things, you'll follow me. He just said, no, I'm worth it. You just give it up and come on, follow. He knew he was worth it. But do you? Do you know him like that? Oh, I tell you, he's worth giving up whatever he asks you to give up for. And sometimes we just need to get the fizz back. You know, you can have these soda stream things. I investigated it because at one time I drank a lot of fizzy water. And you can put these soda stream things and try and put air in it. And then you get the fizz out of flat, you get fizz. Okay? And I did a costing on it and I thought it wasn't worth it. But there we go. But, you know, where does our fizz come from? Well, it comes from knowing him. It comes from believing who he is in us. It comes from believing his promises. It comes from church, being with other believers. It keeps you fizzy. Keeps you healthy spiritually. It comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. It comes from not thinking about you, but thinking about Jesus. That's a good one. You want to get the soda stream, the fizz going, stop looking at yourself. That's right. And start to look to Jesus, because that will be restored in you. And I just think, you know, if we're going to show the world, which is what God is calling us to as a church, individually, every single one of us, what it means to follow Jesus, it's not just the words we speak, it's the fizz we live by. How you can, in a bad day, be fizzy, be celebrationary. In a day of loss, you can say, I have plenty because I have Jesus. And I think unless we kind of wake up a little bit to how we are and where we're at in our relationship with the Lord, then I think when you say, let's have a feast, I want you to know about Jesus, they'll go, no thanks. I've got a better party going on here. But if you show the real Jesus, they'll be going, I think I want to go and find out. Because this guy's absolutely sold out on the person of Jesus Christ. Not lemony. Not always down. Always asking for the next thing. Always celebrating Jesus. This is the story of Levi. This is what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Less flat, more fizz. Get rid of the lemons. Celebrate. And if you're a new Christian, you've just joined the party. And may you find a church that knows how to celebrate. The one who died for them and rose again. And I love a good party, a holy party, a party that keeps Jesus in the middle and says he's the reason why we enjoy life. Not an unholy thing, but a total Jesus-centered celebration. And so we've learned from the word today. In this season of breakout, people getting saved. There were another couple saved this week. All of heaven rejoices, and the church does too. But we celebrate, we are too. And life will never be desperate, because Jesus is always the one who brings hope in everything. And more fizz, I think the Lord's saying. More celebration, please. So the world really knows who I am and what I've done for you. Is that okay? Is that okay? And when we come back to Jesus, we should offer uncommon praise. Do you know what that is? The leper that came back, the 9, 10 were healed. One came back and with a loud voice, glorify God. Hang on. The fizz has a loud voice in praise. Yes. Praise needs to be sometimes loud in your life. And if you never get there, there's not enough fizz. Think of the World Cup. I'm going to finish with that. people who are normally tame and quiet, and I don't want to draw attention to myself, suddenly running around their living room with their mates going, come on! Character change, is it not? Because their team put a round ball in a net. Lots to party about, I suppose, in comparison with God himself dying for us and rising again from the dead and giving us abundant life. So, wonderful saints of the Most High God, it's time for fizz. Celebration. We're saved. Is that my character? Well, look, I don't want you to be like me. I just want you to be like Jesus. And I want you to respond to Jesus in the way he asks everybody to respond, sometimes with loud praise, of lifting up hands. I cannot be doing with people that come to worship like this. I'm like, no fizz. Do you know how blessed you are? Not will be. You already have Jesus. And you know, I had to deal with personality change. You wouldn't believe it. I used to be very shy. There's too much fizz on the inside of me to stay shy. Jesus has set me free from my shyness. And you just need to be brave and start. That's all. Start to get beyond how you look and think and feel. And think about Jesus and say, you're so worth it, I'm going to go anyway. I will raise my hands, I will clap, I will shout your praises. The leper who came back to Jesus fell at his feet, thanked him he'd been healed. And do you know what? He got more blessed. The word says he actually received more from the Lord by giving to him. I believe for that this morning. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise his name. Come on, let's praise him. Let's give him unusual praise. Thank him this morning. Come on, let's shout our praises. Praise your name, Jesus. You're so worthy of all praise. I give you the highest praise. You saved me. You set me free. You delivered me out of darkness. I've got your presence in me. I want to praise you. I want to give thanks to you. You're so good. You're so good. Praise the name of Jesus. And Lord, this morning may our lives be a real celebration because we have you. Thank you for this story in your word that teaches us not to be lemons, but to be people who feast on the goodness of our God and celebrate Jesus all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. And Lord, may this fizz, forgive me, Lord, but the fizz of you, the life of your spirit, the joy of you in us, pour out of us, that we would be like Levi and we'd share you with everyone because we found the best that there is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's worth it, and I trust that you've heard a message this morning that is going to change your witness in the world. And bring many to Christ. Because loads came to that party and they met Jesus. Who knows their stories, but all I know is Levi's fizz, Levi's feast meant others came in and met with Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? He's wonderful. God wants to use you in the world you're in. Be the celebration. And live out of it. Thank you, Jesus.